You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A listener to our program recently wrote saying, "I am in search of God as a reality. If you have any information," she said, "showing me how to believe and how to rely upon God, I would be most grateful." This listener is not alone. Surveys conducted by insurance companies and other institutions readily reveal that an increasing number of people today are searching for a faith which offers real meaning for life and certain hope for the future. The problem is not that the average man on the street is an atheist or anti-God. Quite the opposite is true. The Gallup poll, for instance, reveals that over 90% of the citizens of our land profess a belief in the existence of a God somewhere. However, a sizable percentage of these same individuals, those who believe that God exists somewhere, freely admit that they have not experienced God's presence, His comfort, His consolation, or His assurance of forgiveness and eternal salvation. These confused individuals often see others around them excited and enthused about their faith. But for some reason, for them, faith and religion seem lifeless and without any real meaning. Therefore, as you and I search for the signs or the validity of a true faith, and as we seek to sort out permanent reality from rapidly passing emotions and feelings, and as we seek to experience the love and the mercy of a true God, it is absolutely important that we cling tightly to the promise of Jesus' words as recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, "He will bear witness of me." These words of Jesus, my friend, are your key in your search for God as a reality. Yes, this promise of Jesus that the Holy Spirit of truth will convince your heart of the divine person and the sin-atoning work of Jesus Christ is the divine answer to all who wonder if God truly exists and whether we can know Him personally. With that divine assurance available to you, it is now time for you to turn away from all your own vain religious efforts and to trust entirely in God instead. And so from this hour on, lean totally upon the life-transforming power of God's living Word. This Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shall illumine your anxious soul, and it shall drive away all darkness from the doubt-filled chambers of your heart. Oh, let the Holy Spirit establish within your heart a fortress of faith, built solidly on the eternal foundation of Jesus Christ, the living Word. "My words," Jesus said, "are spirit, and they are life." These encouraging words of the Savior are your next step in the path to the divine assurance of faith. For as you continue in diligent Bible study and sincere prayer and regular weekly worship, the Spirit of God, working through His almighty Word, shall certainly testify to the truth of God within you. And by this the Spirit shall remove all doubts and apprehensions from your searching soul. And then God shall certainly become a living reality in your life, an anchor for your restless soul, a spiritual pacifier for your troubled heart. And finally, this same God, your loving Heavenly Father, is the same one who shall with great joy welcome you into the mansions of heaven when your life on this earth is finished. The personal experience of an evangelist who ministered a century ago might be of some help to you as you struggle to find a true and meaningful faith in God. The evangelist humbly confessed, "I prayed for faith and I thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. I waited and I waited, but faith did not seem to come. So then one day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, 'Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.' Before this, he said, I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. But then, he confessed, I opened my Bible and began to read and study God's Word, and faith has been growing ever since. My dear friend, build upon the experience of this well-known evangelist. And always remember, true and lasting faith is never a result of intensified religious feelings. Faith is never produced by simply expressing a new religious commitment. True faith is never a product of man, and it is never generated from within us. Faith is simply a free gift from God. Faith is created by and a result of the work of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. Faith comes from God alone, and it is planted deeply into our hearts when we read and study and listen to the Word of God. For just as the rain and snow come down from the sky to provide seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so also, my friend, the Word of God, when it is preached, enters the ears of listeners and establishes faith in the hearts of all those who do not refuse it. Oh, yes, indeed, there are myriads of theories abounding today about how faith is received. And every one of these theories, which claims faith to be a result of or a product of our human efforts, is totally wrong. True and saving faith sprouts and grows only in those receptive hearts which have been exposed to the living and creative Word of God. When we read and meditate and hear God's Word, then the Spirit of God works through the Word to establish faith. Yea, this divine Word establishes even Jesus Christ Himself within us. Listen again to our text for today, when Jesus says, When the Helper comes, that is, the Spirit of truth, Jesus said, then He will bear witness of Me. Great and crucial doctrines regarding faith in the living Word are subjects of which Jesus spoke freely and regularly. Jesus used simple illustrations to explain them. We can do the same. For instance, when you plant garden seeds in the spring, they sprout, don't they? And they sink their roots deep into the earth, and they become strong and vibrant plants. This is also how faith is established within people. Jesus said that the Word of God is like seed, and when the Word or the seed is planted in our hearts, then faith as a little plant begins to sprout. And each time we have devotions at home, or listen to a sermon, or hear God's Word taught, then this little sprout of faith is watered and it's nourished. And it soon grows into a strong and healthy faith. No wonder, then, that St. Paul stated the doctrine of faith so clearly when he said, Faith comes from, or is a result of, hearing the Word of God. This faith from God offers an anchor for life. True faith, a product of God's Word and Spirit, enables us to understand the fundamental questions of our existence, of where we have come from and where we are going. On a regular basis, however, we read of individuals who have turned away from God and His Word and have sought answers to the basic questions of life in other things. For example, a recent article which appeared in a major magazine indicated in its title that the hope for mankind lies not in faith in God or religion, but rather in the study of the social behavior of African apes. In a hard-hitting and derogatory comment referring to man, God's highest form of creation, the author said, and I quote, It's hard to imagine that the earliest humans were not at least as smart as apes. Now, with such expressions, it's not surprising to see letters written to the editor by some very, very angry readers. Now, studying the social life of wild animals is indeed a worthy scientific pursuit. In fact, many of the nature shows now on television are more interesting, certainly more entertaining, and far more beneficial than some of the sleazy soaps which purport to reflect certain social habits and debased morals of man. We are referring here especially to those programs which seem to constantly imply sexual encounters of adulterous situations as being normal and acceptable lifestyles. promoters of these highly questionable programs attempt to defend their work by saying that their shows merely reflect what is already happening in society. In fact, however, as one well-known and popular actor stated, these television dramas reflect the moral values, not necessarily of current society, but of the writers and the producers, and how liberal and promiscuous they would like to see our society eventually become. And so the answers to many of the disturbing dilemmas that you and I face in life every day lie neither in watching the social life of African apes, nor in adopting many of the immoral social values now being broadcast on some television dramas. We will find answers to life's challenging questions only when we look and meditate, not upon animals or man, but only upon our gracious and almighty God and His Word. And in our desire for a meaningful faith, we can rely totally upon the promise of Jesus Christ that He will indeed send to us His Holy Spirit, a Spirit who will then enlighten our minds, and a Spirit who will lead us into all truth. When the Helper comes, Jesus said, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will, Jesus said, bear witness of Me. And now, my friend, listen to this. The most important message of hope which the Spirit of God shall testify to in your heart proclaims that in the death of one man on a simple wooden cross, through this bloody, cruel death, all of your sins and the sins of the whole world have been paid for. God accepted the death of His Son Jesus as a full and complete payment for all your mistakes and all your failures. So preposterous and so ridiculous does this message of hope and salvation seem to most people that St. Paul wrote that this gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to some and absolute foolishness to others. The apostle then further explains that the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those who are being saved, he said, this message of salvation, total pardon in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, is the power of God, for since in the wisdom of God, St. Paul points out, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so, my friend, do not permit one more day of delay. Be open to the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. For it is through this Word and this Spirit that a dynamic and strong faith shall be planted and nourished and established in your wavering heart. Make sure that you constantly feed and nourish this faith through daily Bible reading and weekly hearing of the Word of God preached and taught. And this, of course, is why it's so very important for you to go to church every Sunday, not to listen to more religious harangues and rules as to what you must do, but instead to listen to the good news of what Jesus Christ has already done for you, and that He has redeemed you not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood. And so, my friend, from this hour on, based squarely upon the central message of the divine word of God's grace and mercy, begin to experience the love of God, and let your conscience be forever unburdened from the unbearable weight of guilt over your past mistakes. Yes, meditate daily upon the salvation cross of Jesus Christ, and pray daily that the mercy of God in Jesus Christ might become more real and more comforting in your life. All of this can never come as a product of your own reason or logic, but only through the Spirit-inspired confidence and trust in the faith-building power of the living Word and the Holy Spirit. No wonder, then, that one of the most powerful and universal confessions of the Christian faith, which emanated from the earth-shaking Reformation movement nearly 500 years ago, states, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but that the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. The blessed assurance of true faith and eternal salvation has that power to motivate the body and to set the soul on fire. Undeniable evidence of this is exhibited in the life of the man named Saul, who later became the evangelist St. Paul. This man was initially a murderer of Christians, but then the Holy Spirit changed his entire life. Excited by his unexpected conversion, the Apostle Paul launched forth into a daily campaign of proclaiming with sincerity and great power the gospel message of life eternal, a promise guaranteed and given to all men everywhere, that all who are grafted by faith into the healing wounds of Jesus Christ shall then receive real life and also life eternal. As a result of God's Word and Spirit at work in your heart, you shall certainly experience new hope and joy in life. Frustrations shall not disappear, but the living Word and God's Almighty Spirit shall empower you to cope with any and all challenges which arise every day. And so for you, my friend, today, yes, today is an opportunity of praise and endless thanksgiving. No more is it necessary for you to search for the truth. Jesus is gently and lovingly saying to you, I am the truth. And therefore, no more is it necessary for you to go through all types of religious anxieties, hoping to generate a religious life which will be acceptable to God. Instead, like fertile garden soil in the spring, let your heart be receptive and eagerly receive God's Word, the seed which germinates and sprouts faith. And then every Sunday, let the Word of God nourish your faith so that it grows strong and so that the roots sink deep within the receptive soil of your gladdened heart. In all this, let your little seedling of faith be shined upon by the warming and life-giving Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Discouragement and despair shall be driven from your life, and then God's Spirit shall enable you to express your faith as the hymn writer who wrote, I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, and this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand upon His Word. Man's reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts her subtle wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's Word is all-sufficient, it makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure. O Lord, grant this solid, unwavering faith to all those who are listening today. Amen.